Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, happy to be with you again. And I mean that. I am happy to be with you. It is a privilege and an honor to be able to host this show on a weekly basis. And I'm grateful for those of you who are listening. And if you think of it, if you think this is worth listening to, too, then please do recommend it to your friends and say that there's some good stuff going on here over here at the Rediscover Hour, because that's what we try to do. That's what we're looking at continuing doing. And we also always want to be ever improving. So if you do have a suggestion about what ways we could improve the Rediscover Hour, specifically with guests that we could have on, feel free to go on over to our show page at archspm.org and click the link that says suggest a guest. And we'd be happy to entertain any and all suggestions that come our way. All right, so we are headed into the 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time here this weekend, and we're moving right along through the liturgical year, and it's variations on a theme, folks. Isn't it amazing how our Sunday readings just tie in one with another? Huh, it's almost like somebody thought about that. Ezekiel is our Old Testament reading, and the prophet Ezekiel comes right off of last week's Isaiah passage when the Lord says, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." And this whole idea of the parable of the workers, the laborers in the vineyard. And Ezekiel says, "Thus says the Lord, you say, the Lord's way is not fair. And hear now, house of Israel, is it my way that is unfair, or rather, are not your ways unfair?" Very interesting things to start to chew on right there, that we have these, and all of us do, let's just be honest, all of us have these ways where we feel like we're being shortchanged by the Lord, we feel like the Lord is not being fair with us, we feel like the Lord is distant from us or not intervening in the ways, well, at least not in the ways we would like him to, in our challenges and sufferings. But remember that God didn't come to take away our sufferings. God didn't come to take away our challenges. In fact, he promises quite the opposite. In this world, we will have trouble. We will have tribulation. But he has overcome the world. And that that victory is it's final. It's done. We only now need to wait in hope and endure patiently the sufferings that come our way. Our gospel lesson for this weekend is from the Gospel of Matthew, of course, chapter 21. And it's Jesus telling another little parable here. Man having two sons, and the first said, "Son, go out and work," the father said to the first, "Go out and work in the vineyard today." And he said, "Nope, not going to do it." And then, but afterwards he changed his mind and went. And then he said to his other son, same order, "Go out and work in the vineyard today." And he said, "Yeah, sure. Yes, sir, as a matter of fact." But he did not go. Which of the two did his father's will? They answered the first. Now, there's lots of things that we can see in this about the importance of keeping one's word, of when we, let our yeses be yes and our noes be no, just being true to the words that we give, absolutely. But it's also coupled with our epistle reading from Philippians. It's that great Christ hymn from Philippians chapter 2, Christ was not he was in the form of God, but did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself. He humbled himself, become obedient to the point of death. So there's a certain amount of humility that is involved there too. And sometimes I feel like we're tempted as human beings to give our word just because we think it's what the other person wants to hear, but then not follow through on it. And that's tough. That's a tough situation to be in. That's not in our best interest. It's not in the best interest of relationships with others or with our Heavenly Father, quite frankly. So I think Jesus teaching, one of the things that he's giving us in this gospel passage is an understanding that we need to be humble. And especially in this hyper-political time, and especially in this hyper-political season that we're in the run-up to the election, the presidential election. Are we humble enough to admit a mistaken way of thinking? We didn't think about this the right way, or at least admit that we don't know everything there is to know around a specific topic? And are we actually given the ability, and this is hard in this day and age, do we have the ability to change our minds on something? Are we open to not being conformed to the age, as St. Paul tells us in Romans 12, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds? St. John Paul II has reminded us that we are always, always in the pursuit of truth. The pursuit of truth. Even when we know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. St. John Paul II says, yep, we are always in the pursuit of truth in his book, his encyclical Fides et Ratio. So if we can be always in the pursuit of truth, and knowing, as I was talking a little bit about last week, that we always have these human limitations, can we be assured? Can we be humble enough and confident enough in our limitations and in our pursuit of truth to say, yeah, I got to think differently about this, to change our minds and, in accordance with the change of our minds, change our wills as well. And do the Father's will, because again, being confident that the will of the Father is always the best for us. All right, coming up on the show today, we have Father David Bloom, who is the director of the Office of Vocations for the Archdiocese, and he's going to be talking with us about vocations during the time of pandemic. And Cullen Miller is also going to be with us from Catholic Community Foundation and talking to us about that Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund, so that we understand that a little bit further. And then Sue Stonich is here with us. She's going to be talking about the Walking with Moms event on how parishes can offer support for pregnant moms and for young mothers as well. So we are going to be talking with all three of those after we pause, as always, give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So would you please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first guest today is Father David Bloom, who is the director of the Office of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. Father Bloom, good to have you back with us.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you.
Thank you for joining us. I hear, I like the, how you've put this down here. You want to talk a little bit about March Madness and maybe Summer Sadness and Fall Gladness as well. So start us off. I like this, but variations on a theme indeed. Let's start by talking about March Madness. What do you mean by March Madness, Father?
Well, when people hear March Madness, they think of basketball.
Yeah.
But for us at the Office of Vocations and anybody involved in seminary work, everything was imploding. Seminaries were shutting down. Men were being sent home from Rome very quickly and needed to be quarantined and had to set things up for them to be able to be in quarantine and find a place for them to live. Just a lot of things were just coming unhinged. And But by God's grace, you know, we were able to rewire a whole number of things. And that's true, I think, for, you know, not only the Office of Vocations, but for St. John Vianney and for the St. Paul Seminary. Mm. And so, but a lot of things happening very quickly. I look at my calendar for March and I get tired or get exhausted just looking at it.
Just looking at it, yeah.
Yes, recalling all of the very quick changes that had to be responded to.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm grateful, as I'm sure many are, for your flexibility in that. And all right, so what happened over the spring, the late spring and summer then, to create this Summer Sadness?
Yeah. You know, the things that you put in place many months ahead of time, and you kind of feel like you've got all that work done. And then, you know, we had 16 men lined up to go to the Institute for Priestly Formation, mm-hmm. and that's at Creighton University in Omaha. And so a lot of work goes into that, and then we get a notice that that program is being canceled. Mm-hmm. And so now you've got 16 guys, and you're trying to figure out what are we going to do with them. And working with the St. Paul Seminary, we had them study Spanish for the summer, and that was all online, and had them live in rectories with priests and two, three, or four guys at a rectory. And then, but they were studying Spanish online for 3-4 hours a day, and then participating in parish life. So, but setting all of that up very quickly, you know, that's not the kind of thing that you normally expect to have to do. But then every other program was affected as well. And so we had, you know, a summer youth program that we like to do, and it's a beautiful program, and that had to be canceled. And we had an event with seminarians that had to be completely reworked and on very short notice. And so, yeah, everything has been turned upside down. So.
Right. And, you know, I think one of the good things, if there's a silver lining to this cloud, one of the good things is that it actually does create sadness. And it underscores the dedication that people like yourself and those that work with you in the Office of Vocations, that there's that this is something good. You know, we're wanting to offer something good for young men in this archdiocese, for young people in the archdiocese. And now, because of limitations due to the pandemic, we're not able to. And that is sad. Rather than, I suppose, the opposite, what I'm thinking of is there might be the temptation just to say, well, suddenly I have the summer off, you know?
Right. And that could have been a temptation, but we just decided that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things in play. At the seminary, hospital chaplaincy, for example, you can't have guys going into the hospital.
Right.
Our spirituality year at Creighton was canceled and other things. But then you look at it and you say, okay, what could we do? And I think in a lot of situations, we've seen the Lord open up doors. I think there's been a lot of grace. Our men from Rome who came home, they were, a couple of them were going to be studying Italian for the summer. So we had them online studying Italian with a language school in Verbania, Italy.
Wow.
And they were on the computer for 3 hours a day working on Italian. And so a lot of blessings, you know, that you didn't expect. And we had some of them move into the rectory where I lived and for the summer. And it was just great to get to know them better and to just walk with them for the summer months. So a lot of good things actually have taken place, things that, you know, you're kind of frustrated at the time because what you put together is falling apart. Mm-hmm. But the Lord raises it up in a new way.
Right.
So,
sounds like the work of redemption going on there. Yeah, redeeming the times. Yeah. All right. So we've moved from through the summer sadness into what you've termed fall gladness. Now that sounds hopeful. That sounds inspiring. What's going on?
You know, and this is, you know, the hand of the Lord just opening new doors and allowing us to do things and figure things out. I think some time ago, I decided that, you know, we have to learn how to live with the virus. We can't just turn and run or go into a cave. We have to keep building up the church, and but we have to live with the virus and figure it out. And so anyway, we just kept working with the guys who were showing interest in seminary. And we had 12 guys enter the seminary who were brand new.
Great.
And we had two guys who had been in the seminary, had taken some time off, and they had returned. So we had 14 guys entering the seminary this fall, which is a very good number.
Yeah.
And and the seminaries are working hard. They have good safety protocols in place. You know, there's just a lot of good things happening. Our program for women's discernment, Bethany House, is at capacity. We've got we've got it full with women discerning, intentionally discerning, taking a season of discernment. And So, and then with that, there's, and many other things, there's just a sense of normalcy that has returned. And God willing, it'll last.
Yeah. Well, normalcy is not a word that we hear too often in our times this around this time. So it's good. Yeah. It's good to see that. But I'm sure if you were to visit the St. Paul Seminary, which I'm not necessarily recommending people to do, but if I'm sure you would find that some things are different. What are some of those protocols that are in place, Father, for the in-person learning portion of the seminary?
Sure. Well, I don't get into the classrooms, but for example, in the chapel, everybody is spaced out. And there's, you know, any event that takes place, if it can be done outside, it's done outside. If there's, you know, there's people spread out and keeping their distance, really doing all the things that the rest of the church is doing, but doing it in the seminary.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know that you're continuing to encourage vocations and young men and women, for that matter, to explore a potential vocational calling, either to the priesthood or to the religious life. And in fact, you're moving some of the traditional, like the Miriam dinner and the Andrew dinner, you're moving those kind of to a virtual format. Is that right?
That's right. Usually, we're bringing people together for a meal with the Archbishop, and it's a very nice evening. But this year, we're going to try to do something completely different. And we're going to have a virtual event. So we'll figure out exactly what that's going to look like. We're still kind of figuring that out, actually. Mm-hmm. But we'll have our Miriam dinner is going to be really a conversation with the Archbishop. And our Andrew dinner will be a conversation with the Archbishop. And it'll be online, and we'll invite young people to tap in and to participate in that conversation.
Mm-hmm. As I understand it, the heart-to-heart, which takes the place of the Miriam dinner, at least for this year, is going to be, it's coming up soon, isn't it? Tuesday, September 29th, is that right?
That's right, yep.
Okay. And registration is required, though, for that. 10,000vocations.org is the place to go to register for that. And that's open to women who are 16 to 35, and they can take place in,
right.
Or they can take part in this. That's wonderful. So, Father, just I know that you get this question asked probably 1,000 times a day or something like that, but I think it's worth mentioning, especially as there might be those who are listening or who know somebody who are listening and know somebody who are just wondering, is this a nudge from the Lord? Is there something that I should be responding to here in terms of a vocation to the priesthood or to the religious life? What are some of the key things that people should be listening for, and how can they take the next step forward?
You know, one of the things that I would encourage you to do is to listen to that person who is saying, you know, you would make a wonderful priest. Or I could see you in religious life as a sister. I could see you doing this. I could see you doing such and such. I think it's very important to really listen to that. It's something that I kind of, you know, I would hear that from people myself years ago. I would hear that, and I kind of set it aside. And but I think what other people see in us is very important. Mm-hmm. And so... we have young men and women who are given to the things of God, and how beautiful is that? And so the laity and others are looking and saying, here's this young man who is given to the things of God. Here's this woman who's given to the things of God. Is it possible they have a vocation to the priesthood or to religious life? And so I would just encourage someone who is hearing from others to take that, you know, don't dismiss that. Take it to the Lord, and then you could take it another step further. You know, give us a call here at the Office of Vocations. Talk to your pastor. Talk to someone who's in religious life, and see what the Lord does with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say, you know, listen to your heart. Listen to what the Lord has put in your heart. And, you know, it's every vocation is rooted in love. And but it's not just any kind of love, it's sacrificial love. And it's a very deep kind of love. And so if you're going to marry, you got to be able to love sacrificially. And if you're going to be a priest or a sister or a deacon, whatever you're going to do, you need to be able to love sacrificially. Mm. Can I do that? Can I give and give and give? And can I love and love and love more deeply, you know? And so so I think those are just a couple of quick things. And I would say that there are a lot of good resources out there. I would, you know, direct you to our website where we have a lot of good things listed there. And continue to explore. Continue to be open. Continue to say, Lord, if this is you leading me, let it be known. And put that desire in my heart that you desire that I would have.
Great advice from our... Yeah, great advice from our director of the Office of Vocations for the Archdiocese, Father David Bloom. Father, before we let you go, would you be willing to offer an on-air blessing for us, please?
Certainly. Lord, we ask you to send forth your Spirit upon all of the young men and women who you have put a desire in their heart. And for whatever reason, they're sitting on the fence. Lord, give them a nudge and lead them and guide them and speak to their hearts, that they would know what your desire is. And I bless all those who are listening, all those who are discerning. I bless you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, Father, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. We'll check in with you again soon, but thank you for all the good work you've done.
And thank you.
All right. Yeah, God bless. That website is 10,000vocations.org. Check it out. Take the next step. If you think the Lord is nudging you in that direction, do it. Just take the next step. That's all that's required. All right, we're going to go into our first break. When we come back, we've got Ann Cullen Miller with us from Catholic Community Foundation. She's going to talk about how these funds from the Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund are being used. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Have you ever thought about a new career? Step forward. Consider a sales career at Catholic United Financial. Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United.
I realized working at Catholic United was the right career for me. About a year into it, I went to a wake for someone who had been a member of our parish volunteer team and very active. You know, I was nervous to go and got there, introduced myself to his kids and family and knew I was going to be helping them with the death claim. And his spouse was there and she was so happy to see me. She was so thankful that I took time out of the day to come and do this. That was the big moment for me.
Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United. Apply now at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/careers and check out our referral bonus. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We are there for life. Join us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Glad to have you with us as we talk with Ann Cullen Miller, who is the president of the Catholic Community Foundation, a role in which she has served since 2013. Her career includes more than 20 years of experience in the investment and insurance industry, and now she's putting that to use for us with the Catholic Community Foundation and specifically the Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund. Ann, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Wonderful to have you. All right, so let's talk about this. Now, first of all, I know the Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund has two legs, as it were, the pandemic relief and then neighbors in need. Can you give us just an update or give us a description of what each of those covers?
Sure. We started the fund, I think, as hopefully most people remember, when the pandemic hit. And there was just urgent needs all over trying to keep parishes and schools operating during such an unsettling time. So in working with Archbishop Hebda, who was also getting a lot of calls to respond somehow, it just seemed like the Catholic Community Foundation was the perfect community resource to leverage to try to get quick need out into the community. So we established this fund. Archbishop helped us promote it. We made some calls here at the foundation to some of our friends to help do some major gifts to seed the fund. We worked with the Catholic Service Appeal Foundation to share the news about the fund more broadly, and they were wonderful partners in that. And our community responded quickly to the tune of over $1.5 million.
Mm.
We constituted a grant advisory committee to help us figure out how to get those funds distributed to those who need it most. And that advisory committee quickly helped us get an initial round of grants out. Our first round was only 11 grants. We were trying to beta test some of the things we thought we could do to make sure we had solid impact. So we did that early on. It worked well. It seemed like we hit the mark. We got to some of the neediest parishes right away. Then direct service needs were quickly emerging behind parish and school needs. So we got a little over $200,000 out for basic needs, rent, utilities, food, where people were trying to find a safe place to get assistance. I'm talking mostly about the immigrant and refugee community. Many of our Catholic parishes were that safe place, and the resources we were able to provide them to serve these families and individuals hit the mark there. We had another round shortly after that, a much larger round, a little under $350,000 that went out to 19 parishes. Hmm. Some of those went to parish support, ministry support. Some were scrambling, trying to get virtual masses organized. Safety issues were emerging, and just trying to keep people employed. We have some wonderful stories about families being able to stabilize because a husband, for example, may have already lost a job, but the wife, the mom who was working at the parish, was able to keep hers. So not only did it serve ministry at the parish level, but also serve that family who could continue to keep food on the table. We have these testimonials that talk to that level of need. So that was a wonderful round where it was really warmly received and appreciated by our by parish, family members, as well as those that work in the parish trying to lead through these uncertain times. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we had another round, a very large round, little under $700,000 that went out straight to all our Catholic schools, trying to offset the enormous expenses they're having to absorb to try to get ready to reopen and then ultimately open. Many of them were not expecting those checks, and they received them on the first day of school. And we've been getting phone calls, principals in tears, so appreciative for the lift, not just the financial lift, but the emotional lift, that literally saying, we're not forgotten. Someone is recognizing this work that we're doing. This is the hardest year I've ever had in 35 years in Catholic education. So it's been wonderfully gratifying for all of us, those working on the fund, those supporting the fund from a donor perspective, and then obviously those benefiting from the fund. So I love this chance to share the story and thank everyone out there who helped and leaned in at this really, really urgent time of need. And if people are continuing to feel like they can support, we're still taking support because there's still need out there.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to get into. Let me first just remind people that you're listening to the Rediscover Hour program of the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis on Relevant Radio 1330 WLOL, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Well, it's touching to me to hear some of these stories, Anne. I mean, just to note that these funds have made such a difference in parishes, in schools, and in obviously in individuals' lives. But as this, even as the pandemic, well, who knows exactly, but even if it starts to be on the wane, if we find a vaccine, if there's less and less of an influence of the pandemic, I think the long-term ramifications of what we've gone through, financially included, are going to continue to affect the way that we do life as quote-unquote normal. And so, obviously, there will be ongoing needs. Is Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund going to stay operational? Are you still taking supports and donations?
Yeah, we are, and I appreciate that question. We are. People can still give through our website. And, you know, every time I turn around, there is a check that shows up where somebody hasn't forgotten and continues to support this fund. And, of course, we've been working really hard to make sure that the money doesn't sit idle and that it gets put to good use. And we're trying to be really good stewards of this money. We work with the Economic Task Force out of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. And so our decision-making is informed by a strong financial analysis that happens through a number of really engaged people involved in that particular effort as well. So our gratitude for the partnership we've been able to establish with the Archdiocese on this. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit, give us a little bit of detail specifically about the Neighbors in Need Fund? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so after, May 25th, when George Floyd was murdered in Minneapolis, and there was all kinds of civil unrest and destruction in our neighborhoods as a result of that, that had a direct impact on many Catholics who were either living in apartments in some of the affected neighborhoods, or they were involved in the businesses. They lost a job. They lost a business. They lost their ability to get on a bus or get groceries in their neighborhood as they normally would to get their job. And so, again, there was a lot of people picking up the phone and calling for help, as well as how do I help? And so, again, Archbishop Hebden and I had a conversation and thought that we could have a derivative opportunity of the Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund. So we created Neighbors in Need, and we were able to, you know, build up a balance in this fund and then get the proceeds of that balance out back out into the community. Things like a door got knocked down, and so we were able to help fund the ability to put a door back in place to create safety for an apartment building, I think, to keep people able to continue to live in their home. So it's, same kind of direct service needs, food, potentially a rental check, those types of things, utility bills. Those were the ways that we were able to respond with financial support.
Mm, wow. Well, Anne, why don't you hit the website again for us, but then tell us the different ways that people can make a gift on the website.
Sure. So you can reach the Catholic Community Foundation, www.ccf-mn.org/relief. Or you can just hit our main webpage and it'll work you through. People can write a check. Our address is on that website. You can give electronically. There is a little button there you can fill out if you want to do that. You can call one of our gift officers if you want to do sustained giving and potentially set up a fund at the Catholic Community Foundation to support this fund, as well as engage in other types of Catholic philanthropy. So it's all right there on the website. Our staff page is there. You can reach out to any one of us for personalized help to answer questions or walk you through the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that it. I'm on the webpage now, and it looks very straightforward, an easy way of figuring out what might be the best way to make a gift. And it says on the website here, again, almost 1.5 million, as you said, through August 25th anyway, but you're hard at work dispersing that amongst the people who need it. And I'm just curious, too, you talked a little bit about what parishes are needing, and are these, you talked obviously about staff and employee support that way, but parishes are, not only are they experiencing decreased offerings because of, you know, perhaps decreased attendance at Mass, and so the plate offerings are down. Mm-hmm. But they're also having to invest some in things like mm-hmm. safety measures and going online, that sort of thing. Is that true that the parishes are incurring more expenses even in the face of perhaps decreased offerings?
Yeah, you know, you think about it, they're all having to set up production studios to broadcast virtual masses and make all that possible. So we've seen a lot of increased expenses there, increased expenses on cleaning, staffing. You think about opening a school right now with the demands of this, where they have to expand space, they have to hire additional substitute teachers because classes aren't half, the synchronous learning, virtual learning. So, it's incredible, the demands. And the Catholic community, the Catholic schools have responded. Enrollment is up in many of our schools because the public schools haven't necessarily been able to lean in with the organization, the organizational ability to come together. I think I heard Community Saints, for example, in West St. Paul has over 50 new families. So this is a moment in time for our Catholic schools as well. But our Catholic schools need a lot of help to live up to this moment and attract new families and new opportunities to evangelize now and into the future. So you can give directly to the schools that you care about and love. Folks can give directly to their parishes. The MCRF is another way, but it's not the only way. And so I know these leaders, I know our bishops would appreciate help and support in any way they can to sort of take advantage of this moment and try to make lemonade out of lemons. Yeah. I do know many parishes have been able to get electronic giving up and running quickly. So I know initially plate and envelope was down substantially, but I think some of that has leveled off. What we don't know is it going to keep at those levels? Did people front end their giving and plan to stop through the rest of the year? Are they going to keep going? So there's that uncertainty out there. But I know it's better today than it was when we started this fund.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a great reminder too, is that we can and should continue to support our own parishes, our own schools, as we have in the past. But if you do have the ability to give above and beyond that, then Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund is a great way of doing it, of going about it.
Yeah.
So. And just wanted to ask you a little bit too about your advisory committee. Who all serves on the advisory committee?
So we have Father Ralph Talbot, who serves as a pastor out in the at St. Mary of the Lake in White Bear Lake. We have Jeannie Schaff, who is a parish business administrator in at St. Odelia's in Shoreview. Frank Forsberg is a longtime consultant for education policy. He has many, many years of leading program and impact at the Greater Twin Cities United Way. Doug Milroy, who's a former CEO of public company G&K Services. Estela Villagran Manacero. She's the director of the Office of Latino Ministry in the Archdiocese. She has been fantastic of helping us in particular, know where to send money for direct service needs. She's so well networked and knows where all this work is happening on the ground. And then, of course, my colleague, Meg Payne Nelson, who was just promoted to Vice President of Impact, has been leading that committee, providing research and organizing that committee to make sure they have all the information in real time to make these decisions. And I serve on it as well, but I give Meg all the credit from a staff perspective in keeping this committee up and running.
Well, and Meg and all the rest of the advisory committee, thank you. Thank you so much for all of your work in this Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund. And thank you for being on the program today. It's wonderful to have spoken with you.
Oh, thanks so much for giving me the opportunity, and thanks for all you do at Relevant Radio. My mother listens every day.
Well, that's what we'd like to hear. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Well, so that website again is ccf-mn.org/relief, and that will take you right to the Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund page. Explore it and check it out. All right. We're going to go into our next break. When we come back, we've got Sue Stonish with us talking about an upcoming event, Walking with Moms, and how your parish can provide support for pregnant moms and young moms. Stay with us.
The biggest thing is to proclaim the liberating message to young people. Your life isn't about you. Relevant Radio contributor, Monsignor James Shea.
Your life is not about you, young people. It's your life, yes it is, but it's not about you. And unless you find a way to give your whole self away in love, unless you understand that your talents, those talents are more needed by others than by you, unless you understand that your life is meant to be about some great, heroic, and phenomenal service that you can pour yourself into, unless you realize your life is not about you, you'll never be happy. You'll never find meaning, purpose, or satisfaction in a deep way in your life. And when students hear that message, it's a deeply liberating thing for them to understand that they don't have to figure it out all on their own. What they need to focus on is, how can I give myself away? It's not about you.
Relevant Radio, helping you guide your family with talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cammie Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now is Sue Stonich, who's the president of the Northeast CCW Deanery, and she's the past president of her parish CCW in Stillwater at St. Michael's there. She has three grown children and a precious six-month-old grandson, so she knows a thing or two about mothering and grandmothering, and she's here to talk to us about an upcoming event, Walking with Moms in Need. Welcome, Sue.
Good morning, Patrick.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, glad to hear it. Yeah, it is. And so tell us a little bit about what this Walking with Moms in Need, what is that all about?
Well, it's actually an initiative coming from the USCCB, and because they acknowledge that life is the preeminent issue because of the number of people affected by it. And so on Thursday, October 15th, this Walking with Moms in Need, and they have it underscored a year of service, but really, the year of service is just to get people started. You know, we hope that it will continue and be an ongoing thing.
Sure.
There's a lot of people in a lot of parishes doing good work, but we're not necessarily connected. Mm. And some parishes feel like we're too small, you know, we don't have the resources. But we're hoping to form a network so that they will have the resources, or at least be able to refer people to the right place.
Mm. Okay, and let's talk a little bit more about that. What specifically these moms that are being served through Walking with Moms in Need, what's their situation?
Well, if we have a woman who's expecting, for instance, and she may not have the resources to care for a child, she might be looking for abortion. And so, of course, we want to guide them away from that and give them whatever they need to give life to that child, whether they choose to place the child for adoption or raise the child on their own, or if they, you know, contemplate marriage, whatever their needs. But there are urgent needs, especially now with COVID and people being unemployed, and they're really struggling. And, you know, families need help. And every parish, I mean, we have 130-some parishes just in the Northeast Deanery. And if every parish could guide these women to whatever services they need, what a difference we could make, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we decided to partner with the St. Paul Deanery, because they're even bigger. Now we can cover the whole East Metro. If we had every parish in the whole East Metro, you know, able to guide women to whatever help they need. And our keynote speaker is Nancy Calbasa, who does a ministry just like that, where she will meet one-on-one and assess their needs and help guide them to whatever will help them, you know, keep their child or take care of the children they have. You know, it's not a short-term thing. It's kind of a long-term commitment. But even parishes without a lot of resources on site should be able to plug into those services.
Right.
That's what we're hoping to do.
Well, and that's exactly, I think that's an excellent point, that there's, you know, obviously individuals can make a difference, as we know, as we come across young moms who are in need, whether they be pregnant or you know, if their child is very young yet. There's ways that individuals can make a difference. But I think it's pretty significant that our parish communities could get involved and make differences there, too. Can you talk a little bit about the sort of differences that parishes can make in young mothers' lives?
Well, I'll give you a couple of examples. We have some panelists lined up that are going to go into a lot more detail. But there's St. Bridget's up in Lindstrom, and they have a baby blanket ministry that a lot of your listeners probably read about already in the Catholic Spirit. And they offer whatever the women need. They can come in and get clothing or, you know, maybe car seats or whatever. I'm not certain about that specifically, but she will talk about it, like I said, in more detail. But so they have it set up right on site at their parish. And not every parish can do that because of space or whatever, but they can guide people to, like, you know, crisis pregnancy centers or food shelves or, you know, temporary housing. You know, the needs are endless, and we just need to be open to guiding them to assessing their needs and pointing them in the right direction, you know, kind of holding their hand. And maybe that'll be something as simple as driving them to an appointment because they might not have a vehicle, you know, that's reliable, or it might be too difficult to take public transportation if you have children you're taking along. So any number of needs, and, you know, we don't know what they are yet, but if we just make ourselves available, I trust that God will bring them to us, and we want to be able to meet their needs.
What sort of people should attend this this event, this on Thursday, October 15th, the Walking with Moms in Need event?
Well, anyone who is a mom or knows a mom.
Okay.
You know, especially if you work on the parish level with your Respect Life Committee, or if you want to. And some parishes might not have a real active committee that's meeting those needs. Maybe their CCW group could send a representative, just so they have a point person. I think that's what the USCCD is hoping for, and Nancy will explain that more too in detail, is that they would have a point person at each parish. Like most parishes have a parish nurse, right? So we could have someone like that designated to meet with these women and find out, you know, what their needs are and point them in the right direction. So at the very least, that would be huge. I mean, hundreds of parishes with people guiding women in need, and that just sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
If we can pull together the resources for them.
It does sound wonderful, and it's a great way of again, employing the resources of the parish that the individual might not have in order to, well, continue to spread the grace, love, and truth of Christ, right? So that's a it's a great way of doing that. Yeah. So the event, again, is Thursday, October 15th. Now, there's going to be some a limited in-person part of this event at Guardian Angels in Oakdale. Is that right?
Correct. They have a large space and are able to accommodate up to 200 people in person following all the guidelines. And we will also offer it via Zoom, starting with the lunch and learn portion of it at noon, so that people who cannot attend in person will still be able to get this information.
Well, and great that there is there's the option both ways there if people would rather show up in person. And if they show up in person, looks like there's going to be some prayer time leading up to the lunch and learn at noon.
Yes.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yep. 10:30, we're going to have a rosary for life and confessions. And then 11 o'clock, we're going to have Holy Mass. And Bishop Cousins has actually agreed to come and do the Mass for us.
Wonderful.
We're pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
And I know he has his own story, too, you know, and
yeah.
So maybe he'll share some of that with us about his birth and how it was an adverse diagnosis.
Right, so, right, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. We're pretty pleased.
So where can people find out more about this, Sue?
Well, we have a website. They can register online at https://wwminmn.eventbrite.com. So it's the initials of Walking with Moms in Need, and then the MN is Minnesota, and then .eventbrite.com.
www.minmn.eventbrite.com. Okay. Doesn't necessarily roll off the tongue, does it? But, you know,
no,
it's still...
Yeah. We tried to abbreviate it, but it's a long title.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Understood. And then just to find out more about Walking with Moms, so you can go to walkingwithmoms.com as well, correct?
Yep. And that'll take you right to the USCCB website. And they have a beautiful prayer for pregnant mothers that is on this beautiful prayer card of the Madonna the Expecting Madonna, and it's illuminated. It's by an artist, Nellie Edwards. It's just a beautiful prayer card, and I think you can find that online at their website as well, and we will be giving them away if you attend in person.
Ooh, nice.
And they're also having a drawing for a large print of the image. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So now you're getting the, you're baiting people in there too, aren't we? We're seeing more people. And I think, I mean, quite frankly, it would be great to see both the in-person and the online fill up for this. I think it's a great.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. It's a great thing to be able to reach out to moms who are in need, both in our parishes and in our neighborhoods. And that's probably a good point to make, is that this isn't necessarily just for Catholic moms who are coming, you know, to our parishes regularly, but this is an outreach beyond the parish too, correct?
Absolutely, yes. We want to plug in with any services that are available, food shelves, crisis pregnancy centers, housing connections. I'm finding out as I dig deeper, there are a lot out there. The problem is we don't know about them, you know? So if we can put together, that's one of our big projects, trying to put together a resource list and make it available to every parish so that they can get pretty specific and find something close to where the woman is. So, you know, she's not having to travel too far to get the help she needs.
Right. Would you say then that this is kind of a, because I know that there are a lot of resources that are out there, but this is not instead of these resources, but this is maybe a good introduction to some of the resources that may be in your area that you don't even know about.
Exactly. As I said, I thought I have been involved in this kind of work for a while, and I thought I knew. I mean, I put one together for just our parish, a listing of resources. And now that I'm expanding my view, there's a lot out there that I wasn't even aware of. And if I'm in the work and don't know, how are other parishes that are not necessarily connected to the, you know, greater metro supposed to know? So there are state services that can even be utilized. We're still exploring some of those. There's things like car care ministries. There are a lot of things out there that people might not even know about. So we're hoping to compile that and make it available to everyone. I mean, maybe a woman could have a job if she had transportation. Well, some of these ministries will give you a car if you, you know, work, you know, qualify. So there's all kinds of possibilities, and these are so specific that you kind of need someone on the parish who can meet with these women and assess the need. I think that's a big part of it that we're hoping for.
Absolutely. Well, I'm grateful that for all the work that you've done, Sue, in trying to put this together, you and the people that you're working with. And I'm grateful that you're responding to this initiative of the USCCB. And I'm grateful for, I'm praying for a good turnout on Thursday, October 15th. Thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. God bless as you continue this good work.
Thank you, Patrick. And I love Relevant Radio. I listen every chance I get.
All right. Wonderful. That's what we like to hear. Take care. All right. So again, if you'd like to register, it's Thursday, October 15th, and that is going to be the limited in-person is going to be at Guardian Angels in Oakdale with Rosary for Life, Confessions, and Mass with Bishop Cousins. Then at noon, both online and in-person, there's going to be a Lunch and Learn featuring keynote speaker Nancy Kobasa. If you'd like to register, you do have to pre-register. It's WWMIN, which is Walking with Moms in Need, mnminnesota.eventbrite.com, WWMINMN.eventbrite.com. All right, we're going to go into our final break. We'll try to hit that one more time when we come through in the events that are coming up that Paul and I have for you, but there are others as well, so you'll want to stay tuned. Rediscover.
Have you ever thought about a new career? Or know someone who wants to make a change? Step forward. Make the transition. Consider a sales career at Catholic United Financial. We are on a mission to grow the financial security of Catholics in your community.
I was actually an elementary school teacher for 4 years. I taught in Catholic schools, and I was a softball and volleyball coach. One of the great benefits to working at Catholic United is the ability to create your own schedule. When you're a young mom and a young parent, this has been a blessing because I can take the time off when I need to watch my daughter and make my own schedule and work with my husband to take care of our child, and it's been really great.
Impact people and live your faith with a sales career at Catholic United. Apply now at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/salescareer. and check out our referral bonus. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We are there for life. Join us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. You know the drill. Mass is still dispensed, but if you're going to Mass, wear your mask. And remember, you can always check out archspm.org/COVID-19 for in-person Mass alternatives.
And you can always hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio. Join us Monday through Friday for daily Mass at noon and 7:30 p.m. Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani. Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
The Praying with Scripture series, part of the Archdiocesan Synod, has begun, but it's not too late to join in. This virtual five-part series offers practical tools for growing in holiness with teaching from Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins. Go to archspm.org/synod.
And as you heard from Ann Cullen Miller on the show, if you're able to give beyond your parish, consider donating to the Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund. To find out more and to give, visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
Archbishop Bernard Hebda and Father David Bloom, Director of Vocations, invite women ages 16 to 35 who are discerning consecrated life to join Heart to Heart via Zoom. Join us online Tuesday, September 29th at 6 p.m. Registration is required, though. Just go to 10,000vocations.org.
In lieu of the annual October Rosary Procession, join Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins virtually for Adoration, the Rosary, and Benediction on Friday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. The event will be live streamed on the Cathedral's Facebook page. Visit archspm.org/events for more information.
And remember that there's a new time for Saturday's Rediscover Hour beginning this Saturday, September 26th. The Rediscover Hour will begin at 1 p.m. on Relevant Radio 1330 a.m.
And be sure to check out archspm.org/events for other upcoming events around the Archdiocese. You can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address.
And one more time with the Walking in Moms in Need, Thursday, October 15th, in limited in-person attendance at Guardian Angels Catholic Church with Rosary for Life and Confessions and Mass with Bishop Cousins. And starting at noon, both in-person and online, a lunch and learn featuring Nancy Kobasa, the founder and director of Marriage Material, along with a panel of representatives from local ministries. They're going to help everyone to help moms in need. Just go to www.minmn.eventbrite.com.
Lots of things going on.
Oh, man, it's kind of inspiring, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
in the midst especially of considering these strange times that we're living in.
That's right. Strange times indeed. But you know what? The church continues on, and I think our guests were good examples of that.
How, amen.
Yeah, people are being inspired to get creative in this time. They're not just throwing up their hands in despair, or they're not, they're not kind of taking the summer off, as I mentioned with Father Bloom there.
And God is still in charge.
How about that? The Lord is still in charge. Good reminder, Paul. Yep. That is true. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. Joan Gesick, who's the Executive Director of the Catholic Cemeteries. You know, we're going to talk about Catholic burial rites. It might not sound like intriguing and just tune-inable radio, but I think there's a lot of questions that people have about Catholic burial rites. And specifically, we're going to be talking about something called the Bringing Them Home Program, which offers a dignified burial option for cremated remains. I think that's something that's worth tuning in for. But we are out of time, so thanks for tuning in this week, and we'll see you next week. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 12:30, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.